Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are on the other side of Easter, and I will tell you that I do love Easter, but a lot of pastors have this sort of sigh of relief when we get through those days in the life of the church. There's a lot of expectation and a lot that goes into them, all the pomp and circumstance and the music and the lilies and all the visitors. And then the scriptures, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so you get to preach on what are the most hopeful texts in the whole Bible. And it is the message that I think people come to hear, people who really can't quite grasp what it means to be here all the time, come and hear those important words, and I'm sure it means something for their lives. Easter is a good day. And then we come on this side of Easter, and we come up on all the different messages. And the lessons today are just that, they're lessons. The gospel lesson that you heard Pastor Kerry read is from, you know, good old Doubting Thomas. And I love that story. And I wanted the children to hear it before they left. And it's because, of course, I doubt. You doubt. It just seems like a no-brainer text to me. It's the best text to say, this is what we're like. Give me some proof. Just show me some proof. And I'll be okay. Just show me. It's interesting because the story was written about 50 to 60 years after the life of Jesus. That's when the Gospel of John is thought to be written. But the story is just the other side of Easter. It is one of the appearance stories that we hear about. And I know that when we see and hear, show me your hands, show me your side, there's something really visceral and beautiful about that, because Jesus knew that Thomas needed proof. But the story of Jesus' resurrection can be difficult for all of us. I know I talked about that last week. What is it that we really do believe about it? And if we had proof, wouldn't we just be better at just about everything? The story, though, is about personal disbelief. It's not about corporate disbelief. It's really about one man standing in a room asking to have proof. And if, you know, we look at our way we are in postmodern world, it's more of a metaphor, an analogy for us. We think about, yes, I doubt, I doubt. And it absolves me from my personal doubts, my disbelief, at least somewhat. And it appears every 3 years right after Easter. But it is also paired with another text. You know, every week in the lectionary, there are four texts to choose from. A gospel and something from either the epistles or from Acts. There's a psalm, and then there's usually a Hebrew scripture. So then they're all paired together. They're supposed to be linked together. They're supposed to make sense somehow together. And the other lesson that is for today comes from the book of Acts. Now, Acts is thought to have been written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And it is a story of the early church. It's a story of how the church came to be. And it's also thought to be written right about the same time as the Gospel of John. It is another story about this side of Easter that I'd like for you to hear from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I might be wrong, but I'm wondering if some of you are thinking that you would like me go back to the story of doubting Thomas. Because I think I is always easier than we. Isn't it? Isn't I always easier than we? And, you know, Thomas is I. This story from the book of Acts is about we. And yet somewhere long ago, somebody paired them together as an after this side of Easter message. I would love to talk to those people and ask them, what made you put these two together? Because this is about the characteristics of the early church at any age, at any stage. And I know that we look at this and we say, well, that sounds like communism. I mean, that was my first reaction about 30 years ago. Well, that doesn't sound right. It's an impossible task in modern society. We are simply not going to sell everything and sell our houses and live in a communal way. But I listened to those words. They were of one heart and soul. And it sounds like real community. It sounded like what was necessary for the church to even survive in those days. Not an agreement about everything, not bureaucratic agreement, but the kind of unity around purpose and mission and values. Qualities that we know are rare in the human story today, and they are unfortunately really rare in church history. But here we are, we're on the other side of Easter with the story of the church. And we could minimize what really happened. We could say, well, that was one little town, or that was one little incident. And we try to put it in our cultural context. But I think grappling with it is an important part of our journey. We have doubts like Thomas, and maybe we want some proof of the risen Christ in our midst, because the story of Acts would be a lot easier if Jesus would just walk right up here and show me his hands and say, now here's what I'd like for you to do. We're a long way from that empty tomb, aren't we, on this side of Easter? And yet, it is just last week, or it is just this moment. We are always just on this side of Easter. The apostles obviously were transformed by that moment, by the resurrection of Jesus, by the stories they heard, by the appearances. I've heard scholars who are very progressive still say that those appearance stories hold so much validity. So many people thought they experienced the risen Christ right next to them. We can't just dismiss any of the passages as a bygone error, because then we lose the transformation of the lives of those apostles. That was how they were able to do the work that Jesus left them to do. Throughout his life, in his teachings, he told them, feed my sheep. He told them, love your neighbor. He told them, blessed are the poor. For everyone who has much, much will be asked. We hear in this story not about personal doubt, but the continuity between Jesus' teachings and where the church was led in that first century. No one is in need any longer, because the community has been transformed by the risen Christ. And then they reach out to provide the means of a sustainable life for all. A sustainable life for all. Has there ever been a more important time in our world, in our church, and I will say in this church, for that to be important? In the life of this church, these words. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. This church, this community, this body of Christ is traveling towards a new future, aren't you? An unknown future. For those of you who are visiting, this is an interesting time for us as we travel together, as my last day here is June 3rd. And so there are all these ways in which we have to start thinking about what does it mean? And then I have to ask you, what does it mean to be this community, this church? The question is, will you travel with one heart and one mind and one soul? Will you give up private ownership that this church may continue to be transformed into a living, breathing place of worship and service? Will you sustain it so that it may be an example of the resurrection on this side of Easter? Yesterday, four of you gave up a whole Saturday to go to a transition workshop to learn what it means to do this sacred work well of transitioning from one pastor to a new pastor. And Jeannie Losch and Denise Moore and Esther Campbell and Kathy Moore gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon you all. They were all together all day thinking about what the sacred journey of this church is going to be next. In the days and the months to come, you will be called upon to be of one heart and one mind and one soul. You will not be in agreement about everything. That's not even who you are. It's not who I am. I don't expect that that's going to change. But be willing and open to be part of this community, to give of your gifts, your talents, your prayers, your presence, your testimony, so that no one has need. There was not a needy person among them. In this time and place, this side of Easter, that means for you to prayerfully discern what you will lay at the feet of the risen Christ, so that this church can continue to grow in faith and vitality. It is my wish, it is my fervent prayer that each of you will step up to the challenge of this transition and help bring this place and these people further on the journey towards the kingdom of God. The Sunday after Easter and every Sunday of the year, this year and all the years to come, the question is, does the resurrection of Jesus still have the power to transform us, to transform this community? That's what Luke was telling us. The sign of transformation was the community together. The testimony of the resurrected Christ was to give all they had to each other. Resurrection is a beginning about personal salvation, but it is always far, far, far more than that. And Easter is not just a Sunday of pomp and circumstance where we praise God. God calls us to proclaim the resurrection gospel in every single thing we do, in every moment of our lives, and to embody that redemptive truth by caring for one another as we go forward. That will bring fullness of life to all. To demonstrate with our lives unity in the midst of diversity and generosity in the midst of poverty, just as the early Christians did. You are going to be called in a time and a place to be ministers to one another, to be ministers to Pastor Carey, to minister to Reverend Brad. You are going to be called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to hear the drums beating all the way in Lakewood that this church is gone further and further, that the kingdom of God is alive and well here, that you are on the other side of Easter with joy and gratitude for all the work we have done together. We are a blessed people of God, and we always have a choice. You can hold on to that doubt. You can keep asking to see the holes in his hands. Or you can set your doubts aside for the sake of others with one heart and one soul and with great grace upon you. In the midst of these changes and this uncertain future, we are always Easter people, ready to give it all that no one be in need. And to remember that Jesus laid aside everything for the sake of others. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.